Hello everyone and welcome to the first Eastern Daily Press Formula One podcast. My name is Michael Bailey and what we'll be doing is we'll be having one of these chats every so often, hopefully after each race, talking through the events and unfoldings in Formula One, which should tie in nicely with our Formula One coverage over at the Eastern Daily Press website. We'll be focusing on the whole of the Formula One circus, those who impress, those who fall flat. We'll also have special focus on the two constructors that we like to take to our hearts and believe have a little bit of Norfolk soul in their DNA. That is, of course, Lotus and Caterham. We'll also try and have a quick look at the Formula One support series, GP2, and there are Norfolk connections to be had in that lot as well. There's Lotus ART, Caterham Racing and iSport all competing on those races which follow the Formula One circus around the world. And obviously I'm sure we'll have honourable mentions as well for the Snetterton highlights over the year. So we've got plenty to get stuck into. We're just here on this first preview podcast, if you like, ahead of the Barcelona weekend. And we'll have various people joining us for these podcasts over the rest of the year. But with me today to discuss the Mugello test and what we can expect in Barcelona is Perry Hamilton. Hello there, Perry.
Hello, Michael. It's very good to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Good man. You well?
I'm very well indeed. Yes, I'm absolutely psyched to get back into some racing this weekend as well.
It's been 3 weeks since Bahrain, which has been nicely broken up by what happened in Mugello. It was a three-day mid-season test. It's the first one of these we've had since 2008.
It is.
So I think the teams have been looking forward to it a lot. Who caught your eye during those 3 days in Italy?
I'd probably say Alonso more than anything. Ferrari had a massive gap that they had to close in the off-season, in the mid-season testing. They were struggling. I mean, amazingly, he actually did manage to put it in first place in Malaysia, which was stunning considering how poor the quality of car has been.
Incredible result that was.
Very, very. And fending off Perez as well, who's coming through very strongly. So he managed to put it in first place on the first day of practice in the wet. And I think on the third day as well, he came in third, I believe. So for Ferrari to close the gap that much is outstanding. When you've got to think at this point, there's no real legitimate chance of them overtaking the other teams. It's just going to be a case of how much can they close the gap and how close can they get, because that's, especially going into Barcelona, I mean, was this going to be now the third year in a row that the Ferraris have underperformed at the beginning of a season? And you know that Alonso's just going to want to get in there, put his foot down and then take the victory in front of his home crowd. So for me, that's who I'm looking for. That's who's impressed me the most in Italy in the three-week break so far.
I suppose the fortunate thing with Ferrari and McLaren have had it in the past as well, the resources at those teams, especially at Maranello, they can turn around a car that looked a bit like a dog's dinner, really,
all through
pre-season testing, and somehow, I mean, they've already picked up a race win out of virtually nothing.
Yeah.
You know that come the middle of the season they're going to have a car that is going to be properly up there at the front of the field. Maybe one team who are excelling in that regard and maybe won't have the same development capabilities back at Enstone is Lotus, formerly Renault, but of course a team quite convolutedly backed by Group Lotus here in Norfolk at Heffel. I mean, the story behind all that is far too long-winded to get stuck into now. But as a team, Romain Grosjean and Kimi Raikkonen have both, were on the podium at Bahrain.
They were.
Grosjean was quickest on the two final days, if you like, in Mugello, and I mean, there's some genuine pace. A lot of people are calling them the most predictable, if you like, or the most consistent performing team so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, Grosjean has been outstanding. This is his second bite of the Formula One apple, if you will, and he's really taken it with both hands, I feel. And Kimi Raikkonen, I was one of the sceptics, I have to say. When Kimi announced his return to Formula One, I genuinely thought that he was going to struggle in the same sort of way that Michael Schumacher did when he made his return. But he has been outstanding, and the pace that they have, as you say, that they've both shown. I mean, Renault was always a contender of a team, and they started to drop off. Robert Kubica had his accident in the off season rallying, and you know, Petrov carried the torch, and it wasn't. I mean, you had Nick Heidfeld and that whole drama going on, and you wondered last year with their first year as Lotus, had it been a smart, well, Lotus Renault as they were, had it been a smart decision, and could they actually find someone to replace Kubica? And then in comes Kimi Raikkonen with all of this fanfare, and he just starts putting it around the track and putting the laps in. He was unimpressive in his first race back, which you kind of could understand a little bit of track rust, if you will. And then Grosjean has come out of nowhere. I mean, he's one of those drivers who flirts between GP2 and Formula 1. He came into Formula 1 as a champion. He didn't impress. He then got put back down to GP, GP2, where he won everything. And he then comes back into Formula 1 again. And this time, you've got to believe that if he doesn't put in those serious finishes and got to start, you know, regularly producing, not only in qualifying, but on the track as well, this could be possibly his last shot in Formula 1. And I think he knows that. And from what I hear, he's a fairly nice chap as well to talk to.
He comes across as a lovely
guy. He's one of the nicest guys.
And I know from when he had his second stab at GP2 and earlier in his career, he was one for bouncing off cars early on in races, and he calmed that down in GP2. Obviously, he had a nightmare in his first couple of races, couldn't get a finish under his belt. Just seems to have calmed down a bit, just in a short space of time.
Yeah.
And as I said, it was a very, very impressive display in Bahrain. And Mugello, guy looks to have some serious pace, so we'll see if he can do it in Barcelona. Just before we get on to the race, who didn't quite live up? Well, HRT weren't at Mugello because they were too busy moving into their new home in Spain, which we obviously wish them all the best for that. Who did turn up wasn't quite at it for you?
Well, the thing that surprised me most about the testing is that most of, if not all of the testing was done for McLaren, was done by a test driver. Which I found very surprising, because admittedly, McLaren know they're at the front of the field, especially in qualifying, but if you can't translate those qualifying poles and front rows into regular finishes on the top step of the podium, then, you know, qualifying is for nothing. They've had an absolutely terrible year for pit stops. I don't know what's happened to McLaren there. So obviously that's going to give them a chance to get the drivers in the box, to get the tyres on and off quickly and get that practice in. They've also got to introduce their new parts, because if they stand still, other teams will overtake them. We already know that Ferrari have made incredible improvements, as we've seen from Alonso's times. Everyone's going to be bringing something new to the dance. And for them to sort of sit Lewis and Jensen, even a tiny part of it, out of those testing periods, how are they going to know what does and doesn't work? And especially when you're coming into the race with, you know, the way the tyres are going to be set up for the race as well, you're not going to have any race telemetry on that with the new parts added that have been made in testing. So you're only going to be going on what's done in practice. And for them to not be there, even if, you know, for part of the session, to not be driving that car, to me was very surprising. So I'd be interested to see how McLaren are going to perform.
Absolutely. It was interesting because Lewis did want to race in, or he did want to take part in the test, but obviously the engineers decided it would be best to keep them away. Another little interesting part is that McLaren apparently going to have a new slightly higher nose that they're going to race with this weekend in Barcelona. So let's, God, please hope it hasn't got a massive step in it.
No, because they were one of the few, they're the only team, they? Pretty much the only team that actually kept what I would like to say the aesthetic of Formula 1
is. Well, with a nice car, I still don't think the Marussia looks particularly nice, but there we go. Force India, for me, they were supposed to be bringing these upgrades to 85% of the aerodynamics of the car, and they weren't happy with them, and there may be a bit of residual issues with that when it comes to Barcelona this weekend, which seems like the perfect thing to discuss now. It's round five of the Formula One World Championship. We've had four fantastic races, four different victors. The last one was Sebastian Vettel in his Red Bull, obviously the two defending champions from 2011. It was kind of deja vu in the way that Seb took pole and then from the lights, pretty much despite a bit of pressure from Kimi, took the race win. Mm-hmm. Please, Perry, tell me that this doesn't signal the start of Red Bull and Vettel doing what they did last year.
I don't think it's the start of absolute dominance, because they've shown that they're weak, they've shown they're vulnerable. Other teams have shown that they can beat them, not only from the line, but they can come and overtake them and sort of leapfrog them, not only in the pit stops, but on the track as well. We know the Red Bull's not scintillating in straight lines, but what it does have is high speed through corners. And that is what you're going to need at Barcelona. So although I don't predict the dominance returning, I do see them taking hold of Barcelona by the throat, quite literally.
Fair enough. How exciting. Well, the good thing is it has been unpredictable so far. So
yes,
we'll fingers crossed what will happen. Let's have a quick prediction then, shall we? For qualifying and for race, who's going to do it in qualifying?
Qualifying, I think you're going to see a Red Bull on the front row, for sure. And if they can translate that into being in front in the first corner, and bear in mind that's a huge run down to that first corner. If a Red Bull's in front in the first corner, that's Red Bull in the first place, no doubt about it. They've got the speed to keep people behind them. However, that long straight, 16 seconds at full throttle, you've got to look at you've got to look at the Mercedes. Yeah. They need the improvements that they've brought in will hopefully get them to balance their tyres. That's the only thing that's kept them out so far of consistent performance. They've had two races where their tyres weren't warm enough, two races where their tyres overheated. They need to find that baby bear solution and get it just right. Now, I think with the parts they've brought in testing and the performance they've put in, they can do that. They've got the straight line speed, and I think you could well see a Mercedes taking that position away from a Red Bull. If the Red Bull makes one mistake or doesn't quite put it on the front row of the grid, they're going to have a hard time overtaking. So my prediction, you're either going to see Red Bull or Mercedes.
It would have been Michael Schumacher for me had he not continually gone on about how bad the tyres are over the last few weeks. I just don't think that makes particularly good reading for a man who's fully focused. So let's say Nico Rosberg. How about the race? I've got a sneaky feeling for Kimi. I wonder if he's going to come through. I mean, they can look after their tyres usually. It's a good, solid, quick, reliable car that is delivering consistent results. If it happens for them, it happens for them.
Yeah, I agree entirely. And I think at this point in time, although we mentioned how fast Grosjean has been, in his first season back in Formula One, in a dependable, reliable, fast car at this track with the high tyre degradation that he's not had to endure before, I don't necessarily think this is going to be Roman's race. Kimi, on the other hand, what I love about this track is the curving corners and the sweeping corners. And there's only really that one long straight. We know Kimi knows his way around a corner or two. It's what made him a rally world champion. Mm-hmm. He's got no problems experiencing high levels of G and thrashing a car around a track. So I completely agree with you there. The problem for me with Kimi is you've got to find places to pass. Outside of that DRS zone, you've got to find places to pass because they're not the fastest car from A to B. So if he can get around people on track in the corners, Kimi could well step up to the front and be on the top step of the podium.
Let's hope so, shall we? We've spoken quite a lot about Lotus, so let's have a quick little line on the other Norfolk outfit, which is of course Caterham, based at Hingham. They will be moving their racing team to near Silverstone in August, but there will still be a Caterham operation, and some of the Formula One developmental work will be going on here in Norfolk, and I'm sure they'll always consider themselves a Norfolk team to a degree. They are a new team from 2010. This is their third season. They are desperately trying to cling on to a midfield that has noticeably bunched right up. I mean, they've almost been left chasing Ferraris in the last couple of races.
Indeed.
And that sort of underlines how tough a job it has been for Caterham. I mean, how do you see it from the outside, Perry? Is it disappointing that they're not quite there, or do you have to just take that as how Formula One is these days?
It's tough, and as you say, it is tough to catch up, and so many teams have made a massive jump forward this year. Toro Rosso are now cracking into Q3, Sauber are cracking into Q3 and getting podiums. You would expect that if everyone's taking that jump forward, that Caterham take that jump forward as well, and they start putting in more regular appearances in the second qualifying session. That hasn't happened. I don't necessarily think that that is a result of poor engineering or poor design on their part. I simply think it's been a very good year for all of those mid-level teams. I mean, even Williams have pushed
ahead.
They've
made a big jump.
So a huge jump. But there is reason for hope for Caterham, because Heikki Kovalainen has put it into Q2, which I think is one of the first times they've been in there, if not the first time. One of the first times they've been in there. And, I mean, that's absolutely great, because you can see you can't make a team in Formula One overnight. It takes many years and many years. And Tony Fernandez seems to be the kind of guy who knows that this is the process, and it is a slow-building process. And he's very, very concerned with getting the right people around him to make the right personnel choices and therefore get the right car on track, because he knows that if it doesn't start well at the base of operations, you're never going to get out there on four wheels and actually start putting it into decent qualifying positions, or even winning races, which has to be the ultimate goal for any team in Formula One. But their performance this year has been, I mean, they have always been at the front of the backmarkers, if you will. And I think they're still poised to take that next step and jump up more regularly into Q3, especially if, during qualifying, especially if other teams haven't made significant improvements during testing. And if that is the case, look for them to start scoring points towards the middle and the end of the season. I would not be surprised to see a top 10 finish from either one of those drivers. We know they've got what it takes.
Absolutely, they have a very good driver lineup, and there will be more updates on the car for Barcelona, and clearly a lot more performance to come out of the car. I don't think we'd argue with that. It's just a question of unlocking that potential. So, for Barcelona, I mean, it must be also said, I suppose, Tony Fernandez will probably have his mind elsewhere with what QPR are doing in the Premier League over the weekend, so he'll probably have a bit of a split attention span. So Kimi Raikkonen was my tip for Barcelona. Top step, he says, almost doubting himself. Give me a name then, Perry, give me a name.
For top step? Yeah. I'm going to have to go Seb Vettel.
Seb Vettel, there you go. It's 2011 all over again. Brilliant stuff. Well, there was also a GP2 round at Barcelona, where iSport, Lotus ART and Caterham Racing will be taking part. They tend to have a feature race and then a sprint race. And what we'll do the other side of this weekend, we'll give you a little roundup of how the Norfolk teams get on. So, as I said at the start of this, we'll be bringing you these podcasts hopefully throughout the season after each race. What you can also do, you can check on the website edp24.co.uk/F1, where you'll have full Lotus and Caterham coverage. You can also read my weekly column, which goes in Wednesday's Eastern Daily Press each week. You can Twitter me at Michael J. Bailey. And as I said, hopefully once we get this podcast up and running, we'll have ways that you can get in touch, and we'll also tell you how you can listen to it. But I believe this first episode will be up on the EDP Formula One page of the website. And if you're listening to this now, you probably know that already. Perry, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure, Mike. Thanks for having me in.
No problem. We'll be speaking to you again soon. And I hope you all enjoy the race on Sunday.